Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Happy Friday, everyone. Let's start the weekend off right now and party with Daily Pop. Justin is out today, so Morgan and I are joined again by actress Keisha Knight Pulliam. Thank you so much for joining us from Georgia, right?
Yes, from Georgia.
I love it. Okay, let's get right to it, you guys. Big news. You may have saw this one coming, but it's official now. Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson are back together. So how did he convince her to take him back? Of course, we have the inside story. So the two were reportedly caught showing some PDA at Kim's 40th birthday. And a source tells E, Tristan has bent over backwards to be with Khloe, and he's apologized over and over and swears he's forever changed. The source goes on to say Khloe does have some concerns, but for now, she is enjoying the family time with Tristan and True. Morgan, let's start with you.
Oh, my God. I wanted Keisha to go first.
Okay, Keisha, we'll start with you. Are you surprised at all that they are back together?
I'm not surprised. However, that wouldn't be my choice, but it's not my life. If she likes it, I love it. Kind of like I said yesterday, I'm just not an advocate of, you know, going back to try spoiled milk, but that's just me.
Look, I'll jump in here too. I'm worried for her because obvious reasons. We know what's happened in the past. He's been caught cheating on her twice, allegedly. So the problem is that, you know, with quarantine, it really made a couples or it broke couples.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that she's had him in her house and, like, you know, they've been probably trying to keep their distance. But, you know, when you have that old flame and he's so close by and you're seeing him be all cute with your kid and you do have feelings for him and you love him, obviously the sexual chemistry is there. Things happen.
Agreed.
And it feels really good in the moment. You're like at home in the beginning, you were kind of playing house, and then
I just hope they go to therapy, whatever
to
they do.
Real. Right? I mean,
go
I hope they do because this, to me, 2020 is not the real world, right? We're not living in a real world right now. There's not real temptations. There's not real schedules. There's not real travel time. So all of this stuff, I'm sure Khloe knows, but I also can't fault her for being like, but this is my reality right now, and it feels good right now, so let's focus on today. And so we can totally understand
We've
that
all
too.
Been there, too.
I mean,
like, I know I can speak for me. We've all been there, and you have to figure it out on
100%.
Your own. And no one can tell you different. You just have to go through it and then, you know, live it through for yourself, and she'll come to the right decision eventually, you know, whatever that is for her.
100%. I mean, I feel like in the beginning I was more teasing because Carissa, Justin, and I, Keisha, it's a sensitive topic. We have covered this story so relentlessly. I mean, there was a good 4 months where I feel like this was the only thing we talked about.
Yeah.
As a personal fan of Khloe's, I love her. I'm so happy for her. I feel like we've been hearing about them basically being back together for months on end. It feels like he's really turned a corner. He's really proven to her, look, I'm here for this for the right reasons, and I'm here to stay. And I just feel like, you know what? They're a family. They're reunited. They're in a good place. And I don't think any of us can be anything but happy for them. And, like, you know what? People make mistakes and people change and people move on. And You know, good for them, right? I never in a million years thought that this circumstance would happen and people would be pushed into relationships, as you said, Carissa, to have, you know, it's not really the real world. So the fact that they were given an opportunity to live together, to be together 24 hours a day, to raise their daughter, to have that time together when he's traveling, she's obviously a megastar doing a million different things for her family and their business and filming. So to have that time to come back together and have it work out, like, it's really nice to see, actually. Yeah.
Right. It's one of those moments where even if it doesn't last, this will still be a very cherished time that they had.
100%.
And let me be clear. Yeah. I want to see everyone win and everyone happy. You know, and I've been there myself, so I'm speaking from a place of experience, not from judgment at all. And I also know that having a daughter is a whole new territory, because I know that was the kind of click deal breaker for me, because I had to look at it. This isn't just about me anymore. I'm showing my daughter what she deserves and how she deserves to be loved. So, you know, she's giving him this chance, but he better make right with it. Because after this, you know, their little girl is big enough to see and hear and understand the emotions of what's going on. So, you know, I just wish the best. I love Chloe too.
I don't know her personally.
Oh my God.
We're all watching you, not just the Kardashian family. Man, the whole world is like watching him like a hawk. All right, you guys, the men of The Bachelorette are really upset with Claire. In fact, I think they're just pissed off. She's totally into Dale, and the other guys are not taking it so well. Here's a sneak peek at Tuesday's new episode.
I have feelings for Dale. We have a connection.
Claire's not coming to dinner.
I expected way more from the oldest Bachelorette.
Sick.
If you want to go be with Dale, then we'll all go home.
Congratulations, you've just blown up The Bachelorette.
Ooh, so when you go on the show, you know you're competing with a group of guys for the same girl. But is it fair for the men to say that they're going to leave if Claire wants to sneak around with just one of the guys? I think it's kind of fair. I mean, these guys are in a bubble. I mean, they gave up their whole lives to be on this show. And for the girl to basically just write everybody off and focus on only one of them, I would also be like, why am I here? You're not even going to look at me. You're not even going to give me a chance. What's the point? Keisha, what do you think?
I mean, I don't think that whining really helps their where they're coming from, because you whining isn't going to make me want to be like, hey, okay, let me give you some more time. So, you know, it's a process, and you can't help who you like and who you gravitate to. So, I mean, I don't know. They know they came on a show. They were going to be competing with other people. Maybe they just need to step their game up instead of being babies about it.
And let's be real. If you're not, the part of the problem is if you're not on consistent dates with The Bachelorette, America doesn't get to know you. We don't get you don't get the camera time. That's the moneymaker, right? Like half the reason people go on The Bachelorette is, I think they're interested in finding love, but the other half is like, hey,
they
I want to
be famous.
A little famous. And so you're not going to get famous if you're not going to get seen with Claire. So you have to be like at least Claire kind of interested in you, so you can get some camera time.
Well, I just feel like it's one thing to gravitate towards somebody, but I mean, to alienate the rest of the guys so soon, I just feel like this was such a big, I mean, look, I understand if you fall for somebody right away, things happen, but it was such a big opportunity for her to explore so many different men. She hasn't found somebody that she's felt is worth spending the rest of her life with, and I just think, like, to just all of a sudden meet the one person, we obviously haven't seen it, but, you know, meet the one person, stick to that person, not really give anybody else a chance, it's like, well, is this part of the reason why we've gotten to this place, kind of? Like, you really should, if I was her, I would really want to make sure I really did the round with as many people that I was slightly interested in, just to make sure this is, you know what I mean, Carissa. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Rounds?
You know, get to know them during the, by the way, honestly, I don't even really love the show or watch it. So I'm just saying, I would just say if this was an opportunity, I would take it a little bit more, is all I'm saying.
Keisha, if it's you and you have a fast connection with a guy, do you blow off the rest or do you still make sure you date around?
You know, I think I'm one of the blow off the rest. My friends joke and I'm like the serial monogamist. So, you know, that's why maybe I relate to it a little more. Maybe she's on the wrong show. Maybe she should have been on Married at First Sight and not The Bachelor. I don't know. You know.
Right.
There you go.
Who knows?
All right, you guys, keeping with famous couples, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds want you to vote early. But there's more going on here. If you notice anything different, we're going to show you a second photo. The one posted on the left is from Ryan. Blake posted the one on the right. So, yeah, she, do you guys see it?
Yeah.
She drew
on the streets. I saw it yesterday, too. I barely slept. I don't understand what's happening.
What's going on?
I don't either. It was like a little Photoshop situation. Not a great job. If you look close, you can definitely tell it's drawn on shoes. Also
funny.
Because her husband posted the same photo without shoes. But she looks like she's standing on her tippy toes, like she knew she was going to be drawing on shoes. I'm very confused about the whole thing.
I mean, I think she probably just wanted to get a little height going, and she's used to probably posing in heels, which we all love to do because it's a little bit more flattering. But I just think, like, you're living with him. Did we not coordinate photos? I mean, I don't post a story without being like, do you think I should post that? Do you think I look weird? Does it look weird on loop? How do you think my clothes look there? Like, I just feel like there's such a round of questioning that happens. Like, don't you coordinate that? And you know she is pissed this morning. There's going to be some Ryan Reynolds joke, and they're going to go back and forth about it today because they'll definitely comment on it. I don't know. It's just like, what happened there?
What if they did it to be funny? What if it was a deliberate thing? Like, to me, it feels like, remember when you were little, they had those, like, or even they do it in magazines where they'll show two pictures and you have to pick out the thing that's different. I don't know. I think it's kind of cute and quirky, very much kind of like the relationship. So, well, I think it's cute.
And then the rebuttal was, then Ryan saw the attention she was getting for that. So then he made another picture and drew on his own shoes for Blake and drew little boots on there. So...
Okay, so they've Okay, so this is cute. I mean, this is like, if this was going to happen to any couple, they would be the ones because they're so good with that sort of cheeky commentary.
That's so funny. Maybe she thought he was not going to show the feet. Maybe she thought it was going to be like a knees up photo and she was annoyed by him, so she drew on shoes. I don't know. But you know what, you guys? The most important part of the story, to find out how to vote in your state and get answers for any of your voting questions, go to vote.org and get out there and vote or mail it in. All right, coming up, our revealing interview with Nicole Kidman, why she says her family life is a total circus. And up next, J-Lo is calling out A-Rod for his secret obsession. Is it a deal breaker? We're going to dive into that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Daily Pop, you guys. All right, Jennifer Lopez is calling out Alex Rodriguez over his taste in music. J-Lo revealed to Apple Music that her fiancé is stuck in the 80s. She mentioned that A-Rod listens to rock music, but he also, quote, goes between 305 and booty music. Very eclectic. She says Two Live Crew is on his playlist, so it's on mine as well. And when it comes to pop music, Madonna is his favorite. All right, if you're J-Lo and you're one of the biggest stars in the entire world in music and your man's not listening to you, are you annoyed about this?
100%.
Yes.
I should be his absolute favorite music of all time. And everybody should be subpar compared to me. Nobody can write a song like me, sing like me. That's how you need to be talking about me and my singing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Carissa, I agree. That was Chris's answer. No one reads anything like me. I'm the best.
100%. Well, your man's a musician. Do you think Jordan's music is the best music out of all music?
My audio. I can't. Is it? Can you guys hear me? Or no, I'm serious. I can't. Okay, I wasn't sure. Keisha, what do you think about the story? How do you feel about it? I think it's no. For the record, okay. I think it is very good music, and I actually think he's extremely talented. But I understand music is very eclectic. There's so much music that's been made. It's hard to just stick to one thing. But he would make my top five for sure. Thank God my audio came back. That would have been scary.
I was a little nervous if that was a real audio glitch or try to get out of the question glitch.
I really stuck it out there.
But to your point, like, music is nostalgic. For instance, like, you remember, like, it, you know, I remember what was going on, like, in college. When I hear a certain song, it takes me back to that day, what was going on, that emotion.
Yes.
So, you know, you can have those songs that you love as well, but I better be on the list. I better be at the top. So, yeah, absolutely. You can have the rest, but you better include me, too.
J-Lo's like, I just didn't get to finish my whole quote, you guys. Trust me and believe I am his favorite. All right, you guys, Jill Duggar is opening up about her strained relationship with her famous family and how she did not get paid for being on their reality show. In the new issue of People magazine out now, Jill says her and her husband, Derek Dillard's decision to distance themselves down
came down to the fact that they did not have control over their own lives. The couple couldn't even choose where they lived if it conflicted with the show or the family's plans. Wow. Yeah. Since their decision to leave, Jill has started to take birth control, which is highly discouraged by the Duggar family's religious beliefs. Jill also says she didn't receive any money for their reality shows until she left in 2017 and then hired an attorney to finally get paid. So we reached out and they had no comment. Keisha, I know you love this show. Were you surprised to hear this?
Okay, let me tell you, like, these whole genre of shows are absolutely my jam. I watch them, I follow them, I love them. I am disappointed. I'm disappointed because, you know, they have this very loving front about family, and yes, religion is intertwined in it, but to go this far is kind of crazy. And then also, like, they have that one renegade cousin, Amy, who, like, wears pants and is kind of, you know, the renegade of the family, and they still let her come over for dinner. So I'm like,
I can't. I love that you watch this show. That's my favorite part about this entire block now.
Yeah.
So what was it? Mom and dad just weren't paying out the children? Is that the understanding?
Well, I think
it's
a combination. I think there was a pay issue, and then there was a lifestyle change issue, because I know she moved over to, I want to say, like a South American country, and was living with her husband doing doing work in terms of, like, with I'm trying to think of the right word, but where you go and, like, help people in missionary work.
That's UNICEF?
The word. Doing missionary work for people over there. So they're still very much in the fold of what the family is about. But, you know, I don't think you should have to have 20 kids if you don't want to have 20 kids. I'm very much
advocate
my uterus.
That.
My business.
That's
my
all the missionary work they're doing. That's what's happening.
So here's the thing. I think this is definitely going to lead to more of the children straying away. Because if your sister was able to, one, distance herself, live the life that she truly wants to live, not how her family wants her to live, but how, as a grown adult, wants to live, they're going to see that and they're going to be jealous of that. And on top of that, they see that her is finally making money, because I'm sure if Jill's wasn't making money, the other kids aren't making money
either. The rest of them weren't either.
So they're going to see that. They're going to see her getting her own coin. They're going to see her living her own life. And yeah, that's going to be attractive to the other children. So I don't know how the parents are going to handle this. If they want to keep that family together, they're going to have like a sit-down talk and try to, like, reevaluate how they're going to approach this. Otherwise, they're going to start losing their babies.
Bless their hearts. I hope they figure it out.
Yeah, me too. I'm concerned about it.
All right. And do you think their relationship can be repaired, Keisha?
I feel like with time, anything can be repaired if both parties are willing to come to the middle and have some sort of compromise and understand and respect each other's position, even if you don't agree with it. So, you know, I really hope, because I can't imagine as a mom, you know, ever having a rift that would cause me not to love and communicate with my child. Can't imagine it.
Yeah. It's hard to fathom, but it happens. Totally happens all the time. All right, in just a few minutes, we are hanging out with Lady A and Nicole Kidman. Plus, Ava Mendez and Ryan Gosling are a very, very private couple. So why is Ava suddenly opening up about their relationship? We'll discuss next.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It's time for a pop of love. Ava Mendez and Ryan Gosling have always kept their relationship under the radar. But now Ava is opening up and revealing she did not want to have kids until she met Ryan.
I was just lucky enough to, like, you know, work my bum off for 20 years. And then I never wanted babies before until I fell in love with Ryan. And then it just kind of worked out to where I was 40 and having my first baby. And then I think I was 42 and my second one. And so it worked out in that way that I had a career. And then I changed my focus to my family.
They're such a private couple. Are you guys happy that Ava's finally talking about Ryan? How do you feel?
I feel good about it. Like, I think that also they put in the private time, right? Like, they have been so under the radar, so undercover in their relationship, and through the time that she's been pregnant, and they've really, their entire union has been really quite a mystery. I mean, she hasn't really been joining him on any red carpets. Even when he was nominated for La La Land, she did not join him. Yeah. So I feel like once you put so much time into being the couple sort of in the bunker, you're so rock solid that you feel more comfortable just opening it up just slightly. And it's not even like she's giving us any sort of real tidbits about their dynamic or their relationship. She's just saying, listen, I worked my butt off for 20 years. I finally met somebody that I felt comfortable enough to have kids with. It was him. And I think that we all probably assume that anyways. But it's nice to just sort of hear from her once again and just sort of have her mention Ryan. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? I feel like once you kind of put that work in, you're allowed, you're entitled after being, you know, not getting to go to so many things to say, all right, this is my man.
Chris, how do you feel?
It's crazy to me that they've gone under the radar for so long. And it's obviously a very conscious choice. You guys, they've been together for, I don't know, years and years and years.
Years.
There's like one photo of them out there together, like as far as like a red carpet photo or whatever it is. I mean, that means they have divided and conquered every career situation in the world, which is so funny to me because I think, Morgan, you're a lot like me, and especially if you're going to like a career situation, it's like you want your man there. Like
100%. You want to get dressed. That's a huge commitment to say we're not doing it.
Yeah, it's
a huge commitment because it's such a happy part of your life that, you know what I mean? Like, you want to share that. Not to say that you have to share everything, because I don't believe in oversharing, because you have to keep something sacred, but it must be hard because I'd want to be there for the big moment.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. So,
like the Oscars?
I'm just like maybe reading too much into this, but I'm like, oh, I hope this is just like the door opening and it just gets wider and wider and wider, and we're going to see them on like red carpets together, and it's going to be a whole thing.
I think it might actually. I don't think they're going to go. I don't know why they're in a bunker in my mind, but I don't think they're going back into that bunker. I think that they are going to start to emerge more and more. And they're solid.
Multi-million-dollar bunker.
Yep.
Right.
Yes, they are.
Have you guys ever heard of mask fishing? So it's the phenomenon of wearing a mask to appear more attractive than you really are. Now, the online dating world kind of divided. Some people think wearing a mask shows that you're being very safe, you're COVID conscious. Others say, hey, if I can't see your whole face, then I am not about to swipe on you. I think this is actually hilarious. What do you stand on this, Morgan?
I mean, I get the appeal of it. I mean, obviously, it's a part of our culture now to be wearing masks, and I think it's a positive message to send out. But if I was single and I was on a dating app, I would probably forego a mask for my main profile photo, just so people get a, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't find it alluring. I find it like, well, okay, well, what do you look like? I would click on your profile and then keep scrolling to the other like pictures that I can see your face.
You literally can totally pretend who you are, right? Like, and you put on like,
I think about that
at the grocery store, and you're like, oh, hey. Like, you don't know what you're going to get, you know?
But who are you wearing a mask for? It's your house by yourself taking a selfie. Like, that doesn't even make sense to me. You know? I mean,
no, exactly. But I think it's... It's just, I think it is easier probably when it's almost like the new sunglasses, right? Like when you're not feeling cute, you put sunglasses on, now you can have, but I feel like the mask is causing slight breakouts for me. Am I alone? I just feel like when I wear, it's around my mouth, and it's like, the worst part is when you go out, you're wearing lipstick, you put the mask on, the whole inside of the mask has lipstick on it, which they need to figure out how to, that's the biggest problem right now, okay?
It is a terrible problem. The other thing, has this happened to you guys yet? Well, a couple things. One, I've thought people here at work were people that they were not, because I'm like, hey,
Tom
has not waved back to me for the last hour. What is his problem? And then I'm like, that's not Tom. That's happened to me. Also, what's happened to me is I'll meet somebody for the first time. There was somebody I was having a whole conversation with the whole time, and I found myself thinking, I wonder what she really looks like. Like, trying to imagine. And then she pulled down her mask. I'm like, that's not what I thought. That's not what I thought.
And I mean,
that's tricky. It's tricky if you're going on a first date and it's like a brand new surprise.
It's kind of like that show, like, Is Love Blind or Blind Love? Like, you have to get to know the personality because it's not about what they look like. So, you know, maybe that's the plus, that it's not just, you know, going on looks alone. You have to dive deeper and get to know the person. But let's be real. Catfishing on like dating sites, nothing new. You know, with all the different photoshopping, and you know, there's so many people who show their whole face. They go on the date and they're like, wait a minute, this isn't you in the picture.
Yeah. You still never know what you're going to get, no matter whether there's a mask or not. All right, still ahead, you guys, the shocking new twist and the Lily James and Dominic West scandal. Is Lily finally going to break her silence? Lady A is returning to the stage. They're chatting with us about music, parenting struggles, and why they wanted to change their name. Welcome back. There's a new development in the Lily James Dominic West saga. A source tells us Lily was shocked after Dominic and his wife said they're still together. So let me back it up for just a second in case you haven't been following along. Dominic was caught kissing Lily earlier this month while sightseeing in Rome. Just one day after the photos leaked, Dominic and his wife, Catherine, put on the United Front, told the reporters their marriage is strong. Now, a source close to Lily exclusively tells E! News that she was mortified by the whole thing. She was shocked when she saw that Dominic was saying he is happily married. Wow. So we're told Lily just wants it all to go away and move on. So, Keisha, what does this girl need to do to make that happen?
Should she make a statement? Are we at the point where she needs to make some kind of statement? I'm not sure. But I say just make one, say what you have to do, one and done, and move on. You know, don't let this continue to be your story. That is their issue, their problem. And girl, you dodged the bullet. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's one of those things where I have absolutely no judgment towards Lily James. I've said this a million times, but I feel like I have to preface every time I say something like this. You know, we don't know what goes on in people's lives or marriages or relationships. But I don't fully believe that she had no clue of the dynamic between them. I don't know. And I'm not saying that, and by the way, that's not necessarily her problem. Like, if he's going to present one thing, but I don't know. Was he saying I'm leaving? It's just all so sticky. There's so many different directions you could go in. But I also just think she could come out with her truth and say, look, I thought this was the impression I was under. Or they were, you know, it's things are complicated sometimes.
Yeah, I think she could play coy about this one and not give it all away, kind of as Justin was fitting. I mean, like, there's like a way that you can take the attention off you and also say, like, but I'm moving on with my life, so let's all do that. And that would probably help the speculation stop. Otherwise, it's going to be a nonstop. Are they still together? Are they still talking? Does he text her? Does he really want to be with Lily? Does he really want to be with his wife? I mean, there's just so many questions. So if you don't put a button on it in some way,
it'll continue.
People are still going to be curious. Okay, time to get a little country, my favorite. Lady A is telling us what it was like getting back on stage, why they changed their name, and how they managed to shoot an entire music video during quarantine.
We were all in quarantine, all of us kind of in different places, and we just had to pivot. You know, this has been a year of learning how to adapt. And so we just got GoPros or some kind of cameras. Dave, you had like the tech world.
We're just holding our phones now. I mean, we're doing everything virtually, but we wanted to make the video as fun as we could being separated.
They've also been busy keeping their kids entertained, which can be challenging.
We have 6 kids in between the 3 of us, so it's been a lot of activities for them. I was doing some homeschooling in the beginning of quarantine with my oldest. She's 7. So it's just been all about parent life.
I know, lots of playing, lots of figuring out arts and crafts for the day and activities and what you're going to do all day.
But we have been writing a lot of songs, though, too. I mean, we've probably written, you know, at least 40, 50 songs during this time. So I think that's the one normalcy that, you know, has kept us kind of sane.
Lady A recently changed their name from Lady Antebellum and told us why they felt it was important.
With this time off, this forced stillness for us, I think we've become much more aware of just the world around us, you know, and what's going on. And
as parents too,
as parents, just the things that we believe in and wanting to do our part in helping move forward. And so, you know, we just felt collectively as a band that it was time, that we wanted to be called Lady A. Like, that just reflects our heart and what we stand for and the music we make. It's all about unity and love and everyone feeling invited. And so
we had a lot of really deep, strong conversations, you know, with our friends and a lot of people in the Black community. And it was like, okay, you know, even if this wasn't something that was intentional, we feel like it's important for us to change this name to Lady A. And that's what our fans have been calling us literally since 2007. So, you know, I think that it just was it felt like the right time to do it.
We're excited just because we're playing again.
That's right. Lady A is taking the stage tonight for the iHeart Country Festival presented by Capital One. You look good, so
fresh, so fine. Even just at rehearsal, getting ready for the iHeart Country Festival, I mean, just playing the first chord got me so fired up.
It's just an energy that we have not felt in a really long time. And so you'll see me with a cheesy grin the whole time. Just so excited.
You'll see
to
me
back
having
there.
To like remember the lyrics. What's the next line?
They're so cute. All right, you guys, up next, he's an actor and hypnotherapist. Peter Facinelli is here. We're going to talk about how he lost 30 pounds during quarantine. I need all the secrets. Plus, he's going to hypnotize me. Ay, ay, ay. Don't want to miss this. We'll be right back. Welcome to Daily Pop. Actor and hypnotherapist Peter Facinelli is here. Yes, I said hypnotherapist. Oh, my gosh, I love it. We have an audience of all four people. I love this. Okay, so you're actually going to work your magic on me in just a few minutes. But first, we want to talk about a couple other things. And you guys can get hypnotized, too, so stick around for that. We have not seen you since your engagement to Lily.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The wedding planning during quarantine, do you guys know what you're going to do?
That's all on hold because of this pandemic. But probably next year sometime.
So awesome. What was that moment like when you popped the question?
Oh, it was very sweet. We were in Mexico. It was so romantic. It was beautiful. We were on the beach.
On the beach?
Yeah.
What if you would have dropped the ring in the sand and couldn't find
it? That would have been very bad.
Oh, my gosh. That's like my first time. My husband almost proposed to me on the beach, and I was like, that it was a nighttime too. Did you do it at night?
I actually had a friend who did it on the beach and he thought he was being clever and he hid it like in the sand and then he spent an hour looking for it.
No.
I did not do that.
Don't do that. That's my worst nightmare. Well, I'm so glad that you did not drop the ring and she said yes, and I'm so happy for you guys. Of course, you're also still acting. What's your favorite thing about your movie, The Vanished?
Well, I wrote and I directed The Vanished, so I'm really proud of that film. And you know, it's that movie's about two parents whose daughter goes missing. And that actually came from I was on a road trip with my daughter in an RV, and I went to this RV park, and I went to the front desk, and I heard some gunshots. And I said, "What's that?" And the guy said, "Oh, don't worry, there's a prison a couple of miles down the road."
Oh,
he said, two, three gunshots are normal. They do drills. But any more than that, I come running to the front desk. And I was like, oh, my God, what if... I started thinking, what would happen if my daughter went missing? And and all these questions came up. And so I wrote this script based on that little
That's
experience.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. It's like every parent's worst nightmare.
Worst nightmare
ever. So I had to write it
<You're> like,
to get it out of me.
You're like, might move to another hotel, but also gave me a great storyline. Thank you. We also have to ask about this photo. Okay. You posted it for prostate cancer awareness.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, let's talk about it. That's a good photo.
Oh, thank you. I lost 30 pounds over the quarantine.
Tell me everything. How did you do it? What did you do?
Well, there's this little hole under your mouth. I just put less food in it.
I love how simple it is for a man. That's true. Actually, it's simple for a man. That's for all of us, right? You just put less food in your mouth.
But I exercise a lot. I mean, exercise and eating. I would say eating is about 80-90% of it, though. Honestly, what you eat, and being at home, I was able to cook more and eat better food and just really focus in on what I was putting in my mouth. Because when you're, you know, on the go and always going to restaurants, you're just you don't know what's in the food.
100%.
And they give you these giant plates and you feel like you have to eat it all the time. And it's like, but if you're at home, you eat, you know, you can be conscious of it.
Yes, there's kids starving everywhere, somewhere. That's what they always tell you. And so you're like, oh, well, I better eat it. I'm going to figure something out. Okay, so let's get to the hypnotherapy thing.
Because sure.
So you're a certified hypnotherapist. How did this come about?
Well, I got bored over quarantine. So I was always fascinated with the mind and subconscious. So I took this 10-week hypnotherapy course. I'm actually certified now in hypnotherapy, which is, I'm not going to be doing it professionally, but I wanted to do it more for myself. And I put friends under and family members under, and it works. Like,
oh,
it helps.
Do you put Lily under a lot?
I put her under, only to marry me.
Just whenever I was about to propose.
Yeah, just when I was proposing.
Okay.
You will say yes.
You will say yes. Well, it worked out. So a hypnotherapy session takes a little bit of time, but there are some things that you have that you can show us to do at home that'll help during a stressful time. So I want to first learn about this movie magic guided technique and this, and everybody sit down. Because you can do this with us.
Well, first of all, I want to do a quick test because this one's kind of fun and see if this one works with you. It's just, it's a quick one. So I want you to put your fingers together like this and squeeze really tight. Okay. As tight as you can. And then put your hands out like that, squeeze it.
Yeah.
And then just 90 degree elbows and then lift your two fingers like that. Okay. And then I want you to stare between those two fingers. Okay.
Okay.
And now I want you to imagine that there's two magnets pulling your fingers together. And they're pulling them together.
Okay.
And they're pulling them together until they seal shut.
Yeah.
And now I want you to imagine that the magnet's really pulling those two fingers together. And now you wrap those two fingers together. Yeah, wrap them together.
Pull them together?
Yeah, pull them together, put them together, and then wrap string around them. No, just like this.
Okay.
And wrap it, like you're putting a string around those two fingers and you can't pull them apart, okay? And then as hard as you can, you cannot separate those two fingers.
Got it.
You cannot separate them until I say release.
Okay.
And then release them. Ready? Release. Okay, there you go. So that's good. That's good.
That's good. I failed.
It's a susceptibility test. So that means you're susceptible to things.
That meant I was susceptible?
Yeah.
But I did it.
Because you followed all the directions, so that's good.
Oh, I'm a psycho. Okay, great.
Okay, so now what I want you to do is just close your eyes.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm very gullible.
Close your eyes and just relax in the chair. And I want you to take a deep breath and hold it and then let it out. And imagine a time in your life where you have gratitude for something and that you're grateful for something. And it could be something that brings peace to you, something that makes you feel calm. It could be a person, it could be a place, it could be a thing, it could be a beach, it could be a pet, okay? And when you have that picture in your mind, I want you to just turn the sound up of whatever that memory is, whatever that picture is in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to turn all the colors up in whatever you're imagining.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want you to really feel the feeling of whatever that is that comes to you when you're thinking that, okay? You feel that?
Yeah, I'm like crying.
Okay.
I'm gonna start crying. What are you doing?
Just keep filling the room with that feeling. And take a deep breath and breathe. And now whatever that feeling is, just double it. Okay? And grow that feeling a little bit more. And double it again. And just take a deep breath. And let it out. And then when you're ready, come back to the room.
Oh my gosh, do you know what I was thinking of?
No.
The moments I held my babies after giving birth. And that was really overwhelming.
Didn't that feel good though? It's like that felt really good though, right?
Yeah, that felt good, but it's like, I'm now crying, Peter. And they're not allowed to touch me up because of COVID.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, this is great. That was really quite magical. So that's a good thing that you can do.
It's just a good tool because whenever you're feeling stressed or you're feeling like upset about something, you could actually just take 2 minutes and you can take that imagination into something else that's positive that gives you a completely different feeling. And it just switches the channel.
Yeah. 100. That was amazing. Thank you.
You're
Peter,
welcome.
So much. That was
I can make that go away too if you want.
In the break, we'll do that. Thank you so much, Peter. All right, you guys. Coming up, why Nicole Kidman doesn't want you to ask her for relationship advice. Our new interview with her when we come back. That was crazy.
My hair.
Carissa, have you recovered?
I have recovered. That was just really overwhelming. I don't know why my mind went to such a big moment in my life. It really overwhelmed me. That was awesome, though. I feel very relaxed now. Okay, well. Very cool, Peter. All right. Nicole Kidman is back with another new mystery series on HBO. She is playing a therapist alongside the one and only Hugh Grant in The Undoing. But in real life, she
she's maybe not the person to give out relationship advice. Fellow Aussie Scott Tweedy talked to Nicole and Hugh about that and how they balance family and work.
Crazy people do crazy things.
When you first read the story or the script or the book, what stood out to you? Why did you want to take this role?
I loved the idea of not knowing what was going to happen next. And David E. Kelly is, obviously, he wrote Big Little Lies, and when he gave me these, he gave me the first two episodes, and I was, like, jonesing for the next.
Now, Hugh, with you, when you were filming this, you didn't have your family there. Do you think that affected your performance in any way at all?
I partly took the job, apart from the fact it was Nicole and very classy from head to foot and fascinating. I also thought, well, how nice to get away from my tiny children for 6 months, because they're killing me. I'm too old for them. But as soon as I got to New York, I missed them horribly.
You were the opposite. Did you enjoy having your full support team there when you had some very heavy scenes?
Yeah, I mean, we travel around as a little circus family. We're always together. So that's it's a different thing. Except I think Hugh's going to take... I learned that from Stellan Skarsgård. I asked him how he kept... Because he has great kids and a great family, how he kept that. And he said, because he just brings everyone. He brings family and friends and sets up sort of like a commune. So you can do that next time, Hugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't like the idea of a big commune and people there, and you come home and it's absolutely jam-packed. Daddy, daddy. And
then... I love daddy, daddy, but I'm not a commune kind of person. I'm not a very good hippie. I'm more like The Sound of Music. That's more like me. I have a whistle.
She was just trying to say, hey, here I am. I'm a real, real woman. I'm a real mom. I'm struggling.
I'd like to talk to you as a therapist. Do you find yourself in your real life, in your everyday life, friends, family, giving them relationship advice, giving them advice at all?
No. Well, I can give advice, but something I've known is that you can give advice to people. People are ultimately going to do what they want to do, right?
You're so bad.
As much as you can say, you should do this or you should do that or I see it this way, basically people will nod and go, mm-hmm, and then do exactly what they want to do.
The Undoing premieres this Sunday on HBO. Coming up, some feel-good Friday stories to get your weekend started right. Stay with us. We're wrapping up today with some feel-good stories that got us through the week. Okay, remember the movie, The Fault in Our Stars? It was about two kids who fell in love. They both had cancer. Well, this is happening for real. A Twitter user named Molly just posted her love story with her boyfriend, Ryan, who she met while they were both being treated for a rare form of cancer. Their story went viral, and now people from all over the world are reaching out to share how sickness brought them together with their significant other. Wow. I saw this on the E! News Instagram, and I just thought that was so cute. She, like, spotted him in the halls in the hospital and, like, DM'd her friend, was like, I'm so gonna date this guy. And they did.
So aww. Cute. So, so, so sweet. I saw this and I was like, oh my God. And also just like, you know, to go through such a horrific thing and then to have that experience, right? And like, you know, be able to kind of do sort of normal things their people their age get to do. I feel like it probably makes the entire experience just a tiny bit easier. So I was very happy for them.
All right.
I'm it's happy they're able to find the silver lining.
Yeah. Yes. Some of us might feel like we're dragging our bones over the finish line. Well, this toddler can totally relate. This is his new best friend, the skeleton. It was originally a Halloween decoration, and his mom says he does everything with it. He takes it to the beaches. He reads its stories. And that's just his little buddy.
Look at how big it is. I've seen him.
I know. I mean, that's not an easy toy to like, bring along. I mean, I would be like, honey, seriously? He has to come. I mean, that's a lot to carry.
He's fully committed.
All right. We are so cute. Does your daughter, did she have anything she had to take with her everywhere, Keisha?
Man, let me think. Yeah, she has a baby doll. She has a whole tribe of baby dolls. I actually have a photo of her in my bed with about five baby dolls lined up, and it's time to go to bed. So she's very committed
so
to her.
So cute. Keisha, thank you for joining us this week. We got to go. Have a good week, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.